Jefferson Nafsinger from the University of Illinois and myself worked together to put this presentation together to talk about some of the issues related to starch-based. That one right there, okay. All right, and as you can see, I'm from the University of Kentucky, and Emerson is from Illinois, and so I'll just go ahead and get the joke out of the room right now that everybody's thinking, and that is, in Kentucky, we've been doing ethanol for at least a century, and in some ways, we're excited to see the rest of you catch up, but you haven't figured out how to add value to it yet. So, anyhow, okay, so we got that out of the way. Good, y'all are still awake. Boy, there's a lot of things to cover. In 15 minutes, I want to cover several different things, but I thought right up front, try to put out three basic points I'd like to get through. And one, from the U.S. perspective, in the way we look at corn-based or starch-based ethanol, it's really the first step in the biofuels process. And I think that's a key thing to remember. The corn-based ethanol system is working out a lot of the kinks that cellulosic will, when it comes in online, some of those things will be worked out as far as distribution, public acceptance, and things like that. For it to remain viable, there's still some improvements in efficiency that need to be addressed there. And since I'm an agronomist, we'll talk about some of the agronomic aspects of that. And then obviously the issue of corn-on-corn management. If we look at increased demand for ethanol, growing more corn-on-corn, what are some things we're going to face as we look at that process? So why corn? The question was asked earlier, why some other countries look at biodiesel or things like that? Why does Brazil look at sugarcane? When you come back to it, we can grow it, we can store it, we can ship it, we can make ethanol from it. That's why corn is really the first step in this overall process. And you look at our stats from 2007, obviously the acreage went up quite a bit. Our numbers are fairly phenomenal. But if you look at Brazil with sugarcane, they can grow it, they can make ethanol from it. It just makes sense to start with those individual crops in those regions. If we look at ethanol production in the United States over the last decade or so, focused on this blue bar or blue line, ethanol production has increased to just about 7 billion gallons per year. It's a pretty dramatic increase. A pretty good component of that comes from farmer-based or farmer-owned facilities. So there's a lot of rural development was mentioned in the previous talk. There's a lot of rural development issues that are associated with this. A lot of farmers that are very excited about having a little bit more ownership over the crops they grow. And you can see that the number of plants have increased quite a bit as well. Now that increase in ethanol production looks pretty impressive, but we go back to a different marker system and we look at the total consumption of, in this case, gasoline in the U.S. per day. The U.S. consumes about 380 million gallons of gasoline in a day. Chevron Oil produces 110 million gallons per day. Just to put that in perspective, and that small number, that 9.3, that's the U.S., in this case, the ethanol production that we're looking at on a daily basis. That number's come up a little bit since this graph was published. The number's probably closer to 11.5, maybe 12. But if we look at the U.S. corn acres, the total 2007 corn acres, and if we devoted that entire corn crop to ethanol production, we would be close to what Chevron produces in that system. So again, there's a lot of excitement in ethanol. We're seeing a lot of acres devoted to it, but to put things in perspective, corn-based ethanol really is the first step in this process. Other things have to come online if we're serious about displacing petroleum to any regard. Okay, take a look at a bushel of corn. Majority of it is starch. Again, that's the component we're interested in, at least we think we're interested in when we talk about getting ethanol yields. Based on industry standards, currently looking at about 2.8 million gallons or 2.8 gallons per bushel of ethanol, about 18 pounds of distiller's grains. That's important because that's sold to the cattle, and some facilities are capturing the CO2 as well and selling that for dry ice or selling that to Coca-Cola and things like that. So If those two things are captured and sold, that makes the system that much more efficient as well. Those are the industry standards that we look at. Again, from the agronomy perspective, we're going to look more at this 2.8 gallons per bushel. And the overall efficiency system, I just put this system up to say that, again, as agronomists, we're really going to focus in on the issue of starch. What are the things we can do to improve starch or gallons per bushel, gallons per acre? And obviously, the one of them is yield. Our yields have been trending up. There were some interesting talks yesterday. Roger Elmore gave a really nice talk on yield trends. And the fact is, we're going to have to see those trends continue upward if we want to see an efficiency improve in the overall system. Looking at gallons per bushel, there's a lot of hybrids on here, and if you can read those, your eyes are better than mine. Looked at 32 hybrids over the last couple years, looking at ethanol efficiency within these hybrids. These hybrids were actually chosen by companies that we ran through our variety trial system at the University of Kentucky. And the numbers, I apologize, are small. The range was 2.61 to 2.86 gallons per bushel off of these hybrids. Now, I said the industry standard is about 2.8. Obviously, we're looking at a smaller scale system, so we're not comparing things exactly one versus the other, but this range is what's of interest to us, 2.61 to 2.8. It's about an 8% difference in overall yield. That number doesn't sound like that much, but if we take a look at if we put those numbers into a 100 million gallon facility, which is sort of the standard size for a lot of these ethanol facilities, that's a difference of about 20,000 acres. So the challenge is, in one regard, is how do we select and find hybrids that are better at producing ethanol? If we could find hybrids that are high yielding and also produce more gallons per bushel, then we're gaining a lot of efficiency in that system. And I mentioned we've done this study for 2 years. We allowed the companies to nominate their individual hybrids. We had 8 hybrids that were common across the 2 years. And if you look at, again, gallons per bushel, the top 3 hybrids remained in the top 3 both years and also combined. So we're seeing some consistency across years in hybrids producing ethanol. And that's interesting to us because there may be something to some of these hybrids that are listed or being marketed as ethanol type hybrids. I don't have the slide up here to show gallons per acre, but the top 2 hybrids were consistent that way as well in gallons per acre. So those numbers are interesting to us. Trying to look at some of the reasons why a hybrid might be more efficient at producing ethanol. We just compiled the data over the 32 hybrids for each year, so you're looking at 64 data points total, looking at simple regressions of the different components that go into the grain and how that may affect overall efficiency, or gallons, in this case, gallons per bushel. And really, starch and protein are the two that really stand out in this table as far as comparison. Starch being positive, protein being negative, and its correlation, which makes sense as our starch concentrations increase in a kernel of corn, the protein typically decreases, relatively speaking, so it makes sense that those two counteract each other. But if you look at those R square values, those numbers are pretty low, so it's not explaining very much of the data in that regard. So there's more here than just starch going on. If we switch over, look at gallons per acre, and we talk about gallons per acre, then far and away grain yield correlates very well with gallons per acre of ethanol produced. So we noticed when we first started doing some of this research that a lot of the hybrids that were being marketed for ethanol were hybrids that tended to yield pretty well in a lot of the variety trials. So we thought, well, maybe it's just simply a function of high-yielding hybrids going into this system. From the standpoint of gallons per acre, that makes sense. From the standpoint of gallons per bushel, I think the jury's still out on that. Kurt shared this information with us on hybrid maturity. There appears to be a negative relationship. As you go to later and later maturities, there tends to be a reduction in gallons per bushel overall. That picture is complicated a little bit by location, and that as you went from north to south in Michigan, typically your ethanol yields also declined. And you're growing your later maturities further south, so you've got a little bit of a confounding between maturity and location. But there's something there. I'm not sure exactly which one of those is shaking out, but there are some things to location and maturity as well. So if I just recap those several slides we just looked at, starch on a gallon per bushel basis, starch positively correlates, protein negatively correlates, and then there is something to this location and relative maturity, although it's not completely clear. If you look at gallons per acre, yield far and away explains what's going on there, but there are some other factors in there as well. And I should have put a big question mark on here, because I think there's still a lot of things in this area that we need to understand better if we're going to improve efficiency. And going over to corn on corn, we'll touch on this a little bit. Obviously, our acres have shifted dramatically in 2007, about 14 million, almost 15 million more acres of corn in 2007 compared to 2006. And the majority of those acres came out of soybeans. A lot of it in the South came out of cotton in that regard. If those trends continue, and I'm not saying that they will, but if they continue, we've got some things we need to be concerned about. One is our yield penalty. We're looking at about a 10% yield loss on corn following corn compared to corn in rotation. That is in direct conflict with this need to improve efficiency. Diseases, insects, fertilizer, and the logistics all come into play as well. And this is some data from Emerson in Illinois looking at yield differences versus corn following soybeans versus corn following corn, where zero would be the relative yield of corn following soybean. And you can see the corn following, zero would be corn following corn. Most of these show quite a bit of a yield advantage for corn following soybeans, an average of 23 bushels in northern Illinois, an average of only about 6 bushels in southern Illinois. If you go throughout the Midwest, 10% is the common figure. Those numbers came correlated back to 10% fairly well. I put this slide up as well. This is some work that Emerson's looking at, trying to look at management tactics to overcome that rotation effect or the yield penalty in corn following corn. Looking at different populations, 32 versus 40,000, normal fertility and high fertility, different tillage type systems, and none of those had any impact on final yields. So just to recap what we've discussed here, that really starch-based ethanol is the first step in biofuels. I think it's going to remain a viable step in there as well, but it's just a first step if we're really serious about looking at biofuels on a broader picture. There's some improvements in efficiency that we need to investigate, need to do a better job of to keep it viable long term. And if we are going to keep corn-based, starch-based ethanol in the system, then looking at more corn on corn and those management tactics, we need some additional research in that area as well. So, Kurt, if I have any time left?
Time for a couple questions.
Okay. Sir?
Would your difference in the ethanol yield per bushel due to more starch or better, more efficient conversion?
Was our difference in yield due to more starch or more efficient conversion?
Yeah. Did the bushel of corn that had the most yield, did they actually have more starch in them? Or did they have more amyl effect of starch or more amyl starch or what?
Oh, that's a good question. We did not look at which type of starch was in those kernels, which is something we need to go back and look at. That's a good question. But it correlated pretty well with starch. Well, starch was significant in it. Yes, sir?
In ethanol production, do you first remove the oil and then conserve the feed so you have free product?
In the dry grind process, no. You're basically pulling the ethanol out of the system, and what's left over is your distiller's grain. And you have CO2 that evaporate or is removed from the system through the fermentation process. So you're not removing that oil first. I'm an agronomist.